Okay, a very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 16th of July 2017, Sunday morning. We are at Brother Xia and Sister Nancy's house to join the house dana that they have so generously invited us over. So kindly and so generously invited us over to partake. So I was told by Nancy they are ready to start the puja offering. So we will wait for Sister Nancy to light the candles and all those things. Then we can commence our puja. First of all, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Brother Xia, Brother Nancy and family for inviting us all Kayamitas over to join them for this rather wholesome and beautiful house dana. If I'm not wrong, this is our second time here. The first was about 2 years ago or what, I forgot. Then we had a very good sharing and Sister Nancy volunteered to transcribe the talk and it came out beautifully. The transcript is in the brown book, I think. Our brown transcript book. It's not, if I'm not wrong, the title is Understanding the Essential Dhamma as Taught by the Buddha. So you should, if you have condition, go to the website, brotherteo.com. You can read the book. That book is very good. They explain to you the significance of all this house dana. Never mind, bring. No, put them there first. You don't offer now. Put them there, then Brother Xia will start the offering. You have to put the offering on the table. The flower can put up. The flower can put up, put up. Okay. Sadhu. Sadhu. Oh, Kelly, they all just arrived. Good timing. No, never mind. Can put on the table. The rest of the offering can be on the table. The rest of the offering can be on the table. No problem. It's only that. It's okay. Leave it. If they got any more, bring it on the table. So that we can pass round this offering, then we offer the food. Any other offering that you want to put on the table? Can, no problem. Come. Yeah, together. Never mind, together. The flower can put down. Can put down the flower. Very good. Then the altar will look good. Okay, where is Brother Xia? And that's it. Okay, no problem. We wait for Brother Xia. Yeah. So your family member form a line, then the rest can stand. We all stand to commence the puja. Come. So, rest, you can start the tray. Sadhu, 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 pass back, sadhu, 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 sadhu sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Huh? You all can be seated. Come. For those who are not familiar, huh? What we are doing is just the offering of puja item. Puja is a Pali word for devotional practice. Yeah? And when you offer, if you know how to rejoice, it's a meritorious action. That's why sadhu is rejoicing. The meaning is very meaningful, because when you rejoice, you open up your heart. And this is a very good virtue for you to cut away your envy, your jealousy, your unhappiness. When you see wholesomeness, goodness being done or performed, you should learn how to rejoice in the goodness of others. Then you rejoice for your own understanding. Then sometimes you see their sincerity, you also rejoice. Their generosity in making this offering, you also rejoice. Then you see the joy in people's face when they come for such dana offering, and they get to partake in all this wholesomeness and good. There's a lot of joy, because you understand a lot of merits can arise. And these are what the Buddha called wholesomeness, goodness, virtue, meritorious action that you can perform. And as a human being, your mind state is very important. You can have joy to rejoice in the goodness of others. You're already very different. Most people are unhappy most of the time. They seldom have joy. And to have joy is like, it's a very rare occasion. So you only have joy when things go your way. When things don't go your way, most of the time you are moody, unhappy. So this is the first thing that I want to help you understand. I think somebody is there. Joanne just came. Huh? And today, I was told, it's a good news for all. Sui An texted me, I think you all may not know. Yesterday was Brother Sia's birthday. So did you buy the cake? You didn't buy the cake. Nancy must have the cake, huh? It's his birthday yesterday, isn't it? 14, yeah. 2 days back. Never mind, we can just celebrate with the food. Got banana cake. So don't worry. So this is the good news. The birthday was 1 or 2 days before the house dana. So, like I explained, this house dana is very significant because it can give rise to a lot of wholesomeness and goodness. Somebody else is here. Anna and the daughter, Emily, I think. Come, join us. Come, join us. Anna, come. We just about to start only. Come in, you can sit anywhere. So we will commence our puja chanting. Now, you have your puja book. Then get ready. The Buddha Rupang is here. You can pay respect up here also. There's another one. Then there's another one there. So these are the Rupang, the Buddha Rupang, where you can recall to mind this great virtue. Then we develop the faith. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, Sada, spiritual faculty or Sada Virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang adivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can now turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We shall commence the rest of the puja chanting. We will start with the vandana. The salutation we have done. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Nusavada Ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Samadhan Samadhyami. Now we will chant the Padipava Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambutang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasumma santatin pujayami munindas siripada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivasetu nobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya hatigan hatu mutamang adivasetu nobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu nobante bhojana parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance all the puja items that we have offered. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear, pure water. May this offering of pure, clear water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Then, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power. Then finally, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then let us pay respect to Triple Gemma. Padang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, now we left with only the food. We have to rejoice with all the food offering, especially those who have helped prepare all this food. Then you can invoke whatever merits. We are just rejoicing for their well-being and their happiness and their benefits. So, together with the host, Brother Sia, Brother Sister Nancy and family, and all those Kayamita who has one way or other help out in putting up all this puja offering. We shall together. Where is it located? Outside. Inside? No, don't have. All outside. Good. No problem. No problem. So what we are doing, make it simple, you form a line, reach there, then somebody touch the table and we rejoice, otherwise too many of us, Okay, Rasi and Nancy, go to the table there, I will bring the cordless mic, Okay, come, let us do it, Okay, come. Okay. You all ready? 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 Okay, let us do it. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can have your lunch. What time you want to meet? I think we can meet at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock just now. You got 1 hour plus for your food. Yeah, a lot of very good food. That one later. Hey, exactly 1 o'clock. So I think we can continue our second session, which is the Dhamma sharing. Can we close the door? Okay, can the rest join us? Nancy, we are going to start. It's 1 o'clock. Oh, thank you for refilling the Chinese tea. Oh, Brother Sia still busy helping. tell him later. That one can clean later. That kiosk can do later, tell them. Russia, we need you to be here. Okay, everybody, ready? Okay. So, we had our very good lunch, Was the lunch good? Every time Kayamita Austana, you can rest assured the food is always good. And clang is really clang. You got the bak kut teh very nice. You got the dry and the wet. Then all the other things are very good. Then just now Danny's wife, I think, passed to my wife the purple potato. Sweet potato. Thank you. Very good. Very good. That's why my wife told me, she said, this is from Danny's wife. Oh, I said, sadhu. Then I saw the cake came in. So, Raisya, your cake is here. Sister Pamasuri purposely went out with Brother Tiong. Well, he said, Brother Tiong, your class schoolmate, he's from Klang. He know where to buy it. He said, the old town nearby. And a very nice cake I saw. So, see, things get fulfilled. Sadhu, sadhu. So you can blow the cake later, not now. So once again, we'd like to thank the host, being Brother Xiao, Sister Nancy, and family for their kind hospitality and invitation for us to partake in this beautiful house dana, very meaningful and very wholesome house dana. We had rejoiced, we had our puja, then we had our good food. So now it's time for Dhamma sharing. And this Dhamma sharing, hopefully, as is always the case, it can help bring about good understanding for you to understand better the teaching of the Buddha. Then today, I don't know what topic you want me to talk on. That's why, just in case you all got no topic, as usual, very quiet, I brought this book. This is going to be our future transcript book that are going to be printed before the end of this month. You should get it. It's called Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. There are four sharings that I delivered over the past 2 years when condition arise for this teaching to come out. So this is very good, very beautiful. If it come out, you should get a copy and you should read through with an open mind to understand clearly what this cultivation is all about. But this is a very unique understanding that you cannot find in the world at the moment. Of course, this Bodhisattva way is quite common. Many people write about it, talk about it, but I have yet to find one book that has the detail and understanding behind. Most of it are introduction, very basic. Then the one that has the clear understanding to bring about this cultivation is still very rare indeed. So now we will start by asking you all, anybody got any topic that you want to understand? You raise your hand, then I pass you the mic. Then you can ask. Sister Alicia.
Hello. Virtual, since we got a new question, 我想 virtual 公爵是下来 fit, 信就是首要成道的主要的 fit.
Okay, thank you so much for the very good question. Those who don't understand Mandarin, she's asking, can Brother Teo explain in more detail what is the meaning of having faith? Because faith is one of the spiritual faculties that the Buddha mentioned very clearly in the teaching. Without faith,that mind is weak. So faith here, the meaning is very deep. The Buddha don't want you to have blind faith. You understand? Blind faith means you just believe what the Buddha say. The Buddha want you to develop this faith through an understanding, through an investigative understanding. First of all, the Buddha said, he is no different from you as an ordinary human being. He started all this cultivation as a human being, just like you and me, in the long distant past. That's why he wants you to have the faith that you can do it. A lot of people will say, "Ayo, Ratio, we are not like you. We are not like the Buddha, not like the monk."This comes from the thought, understand? The thought that is deluded, that lack confidence, that lack understanding. That's why they lack faith. That's why they speak like unsuccessful people. You know what are unsuccessful people there? Who are the people who are not successful? Let's say you got a very brilliant plan. Hey, you tell them, I got a plan that can make you wealthy.Successful, can make you rich. The one who is a failure, you know what they do or not? They don't even want to listen to you. Forget about you. It's not for me. I cannot. They totally cut themselves off. Therefore, another guy who got nothing to lose, who has the potential to be successful, he will be very interested. But there are two types of this type of people. One is the greedy one, who want the shortcut way one. Listen, go and try already. Whatever you tell him, he will believe. Because the greed behind success. But the other one, who is more investigative and wiser one, they will look at it, listen to it. Oh, I got nothing to lose. Yeah, if I were to follow your advice, I learn skill, I learn something. Then I can put it to test. If it's really successful, it works, then I stand to gain. I got nothing to lose. That person will be successful. But if he asks you to pay money and believe them and give you a charm or you call an amulet, then only you can become successful and lucky. Forget about it. Because chances are it's bogus. Yeah, the real one is to change your life. How to change your life? The Buddha already said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. If you don't take care of karma, your life entirely depends on karma, do you think your life can change? Can your life change? There is no way your life can change if you don't take care of karma. You go and do all those feng shui thing, believe the fortune teller, believe the all those people who tell you all the charm and all the luck. You think by doing this your life can change? I wish you all the best if you think it can change you. As long as you don't change your karma, you don't take care of karma, your life is going to be the way you live it. So similarly, the spiritual mind state of sadha or faith has to be developed with understanding. That's why the Buddha teach you the puja. He said you must go through this devotional practice to develop the faith. Faith in what? Faith in him as a Buddha. So that you understand clearly who the Buddha is. He was like you and me during the early days. Just an ordinary human being with all the delusion. And yet he can cultivate and become what he is now. Over the eons and eons of perfection, cultivation, he developed the wisdom, the understanding, the perfection of wisdom and virtue. And he became the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. Teacher of man and God, the nine great virtue. That's why when you start to understand, then you know your own potential. If the Buddha can do it, I can also do it. What I need is just the understanding of this teaching. I must have this faith in this Dhamma that he teach. Then this Dhamma, put it to test. See whether it will give rise to that type of understanding, enlightenment, liberate your mind, free your mind from all suffering. If the teaching has that potency, that power, what am I waiting for? If I want to come to this world to live life, I don't want to end up suffering, becoming miserable. I must have this teaching. That's why that faith in the Buddha and his teaching will drive me to cultivate, will give rise to the virya, the spiritual zeal, to go this way. That's how the faith is to be developed. There's no more doubt. Then you have this faith, means you completely trust the Buddha because you can see in him all the great virtue that he carried in him as a Sammasambuddha. That's why we chant in the salutation to the Buddha under the puja. Ittipeso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. So the meaning you must understand. Such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Endowed with all these things, teacher of man and God and all those things. So he is a really, really unique, special living being, blessed with wisdom and virtue. He is worthy of respect, offering, but he is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened one. And he is the Sammasambuddha. So all this will give you faith, then your respect, your gratitude towards him for the teaching that he has given you, for the guidance that he has given you, will develop this very strong faith in you, stability or sadha. Then the faith comes from understanding. He also started like me. He is not a special being yet when he started. So likewise, if I have the sincerity, the faith, I can also do it. He also takes 3¾ world cycle or Sankhya Kalpas. But according to his teaching, to realize the enlightenment is no need so long. It can be very fast. Especially the sainthood way. Then after the sainthood way, you can decide whether you have the condition to go the Bodhisattva way, to fulfill the perfection like him, to become a Sammasambuddha. That is the individual's choice. Then finally, the teaching will bring you to an understanding that this so-called form and mind is not you, not what you think. This is karmically conditioned now. And this one is dependent originating within the conditioned world. It's not something that you can grasp onto, cling onto and hold onto and say, this is me, this is I. If you do that, that will bring about suffering. That the attachment to this five aggregate of form and mind, the grasping aggregate, is the cause of suffering. And this teaching is so profound. Then when you are not deceived, not deluded, then you know this one is just karmically conditional, the form and mind, for you to come to this world, to cultivate, to perfect yourself, to live life, to experience life, to go through the karmic process, then to develop the perfection of whatever you want to perfect, and to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. And this is what the teaching can offer. And where in this universe can you find such a teaching? Given free. Really free. This is the only free lunch. Maybe not only lunch, dinner and breakfast together. And you somehow doubt. And you somehow go about heedlessly living life. That's why I don't know what is happening to the world. It's either you don't understand this teaching, or you never heard of this teaching. You are blind. You have been Buddhist for so long, and yet you don't understand the deep meaning of faith, the spiritual faculties. That's why with this faith, the confidence will drive you to cultivate. That's why the virya, the spiritual zeal, will come about. And it will be very strong. Because this spiritual zeal will drive you to cultivate this teaching. And in the teaching, the Buddha makes it very clear. The first thing you must develop is mindfulness. The first enlightenment factor. Which is also the third spiritual faculty. That's why after sadha, virya, sati come about. If that type of faith drives you to cultivate, the spiritual zeal will give rise to the condition and the momentum for you to cultivate and move. And you will develop sati. As I just do, don't try to know. Until sati come, the form and mind will know. You will be aware. Because the form and mind that cultivate and develop it through understanding will be in the state of sati. The state of sati is silent without thought. Then when you can be mindful, aware throughout the day, most of the time without thought, that is the beginning of sati as an enlightenment factor. That is the beginning of real cultivation. So all this come about because of faith. And faith has to be developed through understanding clearly who the Buddha is and what he has taught you. His advice, his teaching, his essential Dhamma. That's why through the Buddha and his teaching, you can establish this faith until it's very strong. Then when you develop sati, the first factor of enlightenment, You can put all his teaching to test. You can investigate into all the teaching, which is the Dhamma, the truth that he has proclaimed, expounded, and shared with you. Then when you come to realize that they stand up to investigation, your faith becomes unshakable, because this is the teaching. This is what you are looking for. And it really stands up to investigation, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the Four Noble Truths. Who can have such a teaching that can summarize to you all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane, in just Four Noble Truths? Everything about life is there, the condition and the unconditioned, even the enlightened state is all there. Nobody in this world can do it unless he is the true one, the Sammasambuddha. So this is what faith is all about. Yeah? I hope by now you understand. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, any other questions? Just have to raise your hand. Huh? You don't have? I read from this one. I will share with you on this one. Cultivating the Bodhisattva way. This one, because there are four sharing. So all these four sharing, the transcript, I have combined into one. That's why this transcript book is going to be very useful, very unique. And hopefully, I will share part of it, so that it will not be too heavy for you. But it can develop the faith, the confidence, leading to the understanding. Then you can cultivate this Bodhisattva path with ease. It's not what you think. It's not what your thought tell you and what people tell you. Yeah. Okay, so the title of this book is Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, based on the direct transcript from the recorded talks of the four Dhamma classes on the topic Walking the Bodhisattva Way and the Taking of Its Vows, as conducted by Brother Teo, which is me. Then this is for free distribution to non-Muslim money, so donated by Kayanamita Fund of Brother Teo, so you all can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So I dated it end of this month, which I was told he can meet the schedule, because Pamasuri, Sister Pamasuri, have arranged with the printer. And I should revert back to Brother Teo by early next week. Once I go through the proofreading, I almost finish. I only need his file to update a few things. Then we can send it to the printer. Then they will print out the final one for us to go through quickly. So hopefully by the end of next week, they can get ready the thing for printing on the fourth week. We should get it by end of the month. Okay, now I read to you the preface. So this preface is just a brief description. This book is compiled from the combination of four transcripts arising from four different Dhamma talks delivered by Brother Teo on the topic Walking the Bodhisattva Way and the Taking of Their Vows. Over a period of about 2 years, the first talk was delivered on the 2nd of January 2015, followed by the second talk on the 19th of April 2016, and the third talk on the 26th of April 2016, and the fourth or last talk on the 28th of September 2016. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that all Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators will be able to make use of this enclosed Bodhisattva Way Dhamma transcript notes to develop a clear and better understanding of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way and the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser living being or human being, to be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes are mostly compiled based on direct transcript from the recorded talk, dated 2nd January 2015, 19 April 2016, 26th of April 2016, and the 28th of September 2016. The texts are aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speeches in those talks. However, some editorial amendments have been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording before reading these transcript notes. To listen to the audio file of the recording, you can log on to http://gratitude.com website under repository of Dhamma material to view them, or alternatively download the audio file via the following MP3 audio link. They are all described here. These are from the website. You click on it, you will have access to it. And alternatively, you can contact Sister Su Huirong at huirongsu@yahoo.com for further detail. And acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Dhamma transcript note be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayanamitas who had donated and or helped out in one way or another in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Chi Guan Ying. You all call her Puan Chi. She is more recognized as Puan Chi. She is from Alastar. And Sister Glady Low, who is from Penang, who has taken their great initiative to develop the draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical sufferings and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for the existence of causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated and or helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspiration soon as possible. With metta always. Then I will go into the first sharing. First sharing, the topic is Introduction to the Bodhisattva Way, based on the direct transcript from the recorded Dhamma sharing by Brother Teo, dated 2nd January 2015. Okay. So, initially, it's just a briefing. We are still early. We still have another 5 to 6 minutes before 8 p.m. So for those who have brought the fruits for puja offering, you can prepare them for offering and get ready for puja at 8 p.m. Tonight, we will have a very important discussion on the whole of the Bodhisattva Way cultivation and practices. And I will also explain to you the basis and understanding behind all this, so that you all can have the right understanding. A lot of people don't have the understanding because they think this is a very difficult way, and they dare not even think about it. But when you come to understand, you will be very surprised. Actually, it's very easy, even though it may take very long. You must have strong faith, sincerity, and a lot of perseverance. Then you must have a lot of love and compassion. With this, everything will just happen. Even though we talk about eons and eons of cultivation, but in terms of time, this is very normal. Because a lot of Sammasambuddha took much longer, especially Amitabha Buddha. It took him 12 world cycles to perfect all virtues and wisdom needed to complete the cultivation. Even though it was done in such a way which seems quite impossible to many people, yet he could accomplish it. If he could complete it or accomplish it, there is no other Sammasambuddha who could not complete it, because his vows were extremely extensive and unusual. Yet he was able to perfect them until Pure Land can become a reality. That was a great breakthrough. That's why the Pure Land teaching is very popular and very unique. The main thing that people don't understand is the uniqueness of all this great being's nature. So if you know how to connect and develop affinity with all this great being's nature, then it can help you in many ways, especially your cultivation. This is just a briefing for those who are early. Afterwards, when we start, we will go through the whole thing again. Then you can participate and ask whatever question you have. Don't be shy, because this is a very rare condition. When there is condition, if you don't ask, then when this form of mind is no more, there is no more condition for you to ask. So while this form of mind is still around, make full use of it. Then Chin Hao walk in. Chin Hao, come. We are about to start the puja already. So yours is the last one. You can offer those garland over the image. Where he used to buy this jasmine garland. Okay, now it's exactly 8 p.m. We shall prepare for puja. Maybe we give Brother Suyan and Sister Mifong the opportunity to light the candle and incense. Come, the both of you. You all haven't done puja here before. Come, come. You light the candle while Brother Suyan light the incense. These flowers from Sister Padmasuri and Brother Tiong are very nice. We should rejoice with all those offering, all this offering, and we can start the puja now. So this flower arrangement, all these things, normally for this special occasion or special puja, Sister Padmasuri, Vatil, and a few Kayamitas, they will prepare them. Then we use Kayamita fund to partake in all this wholesomeness. So you all should rejoice. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then after the puja, our usual chanting, all this I will skip. It's just like what we did just now. Then all those making all aspiration, everything, like what we did. Then after the puja, I continue. I say, okay, thank you so much for those who just came in. We have just completed the puja offering and the puja chanting. Now we will commence the invitation and invocation to the devas. So invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Then I say, okay, Engbi, you can start the chanting in Pali. Then we did the Samantha, Chakawali, Su, and all those things. Then we continue with Iti Peso, Suakato, then Supadipano, the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then we end our invocation to the Devas. Then I say, thank you so much. We are now end the puja by paying respect to Triple Gem. That's why we did the respect. Buddhang Pujemi, Dhammang Pujemi, Sanghang Pujemi. Now we will go into the topic proper. Introduction to the causes and conditions for this sharing. then I started off by asking them to just relax your body and mind, and we will start our sharing. Tonight's session will be very unique and special. As I have promised you all many months ago, even before the Amazon spiritual trip, to speak on this topic, walking the Bodhisattva way. I knew then there were causes and conditions for such a teaching to come to this world. And this particular condition was very unique because it actually came about when I was sharing the Buddha Dhamma earlier on. Somehow this particular topic kept on arising. Then the funny thing is, all of a sudden many Kayamitas wrote to me via email to inquire about this Bodhisattva way. They asked me about this type of cultivation. A few of them even told me before this, they dare not even dream of taking the Bodhisattva way. They were already very contented with the sainthood way. But somehow things happened. Deep inside, they felt there was something they had to do. Then because of all this condition, when I saw the email and inquiry, I replied to them all. Then later on, another strong condition arose when I was at the Ciji Jingshi Bookshop at Tropicana Mall. I just picked up one book with the title Wu Liang Yi Jing. I didn't really know what this Wu Liang Yi Jing was all about then. I only knew it was a Pure Land teaching. So I flipped over the book and I saw this sutta. Then when I read the sutta, I found it strange but familiar. It first talked about the cultivation of all these great beings, the Bodhisattva, and how they cultivated the Bodhisattva way. Then there was another section that talked about the perfection of Pusien Pusa, or Samantara Bhadra Bodhisattva. It was all in the sutta. Then when I read the one on the Bodhisattva way, which I wrote to you all later on, it was so beautiful. Because everything that was written there, I realized I had already done them all before. So when the condition arose, I knew there were a lot of Kayamita who has the affinity born of their past cultivation. They also felt something, and their nature somehow knew this was something. So when the condition arose, I knew there were a lot of Kayamita who had the affinity born of their past cultivation. They also felt something, and their nature somehow knew this was something where they had to seriously develop the understanding. Then when I started to share some of the Bodhisattva way cultivation, I came to know that many cultivators and living beings, because of their lack of knowledge and understanding of this way, they are not even dream of walking this way because it appears like impossible to them. They have this thought that told them, this is not for me, impossible. But this is a fallacy. This is what your thought will say. That's why when you understand this teaching and the great vows, perfection and virtue of all these great beings, especially four Pusa, which are the great Bodhisattva and Sammasambuddha, you will come to know how unique and special they are. You only need to develop the very strong faith, the sincerity, the diligence to cultivate the affinity with them and connect to their nature. Then their nature will take you along and help you walk this way. Can you get me that tissue or not? Just now there's a box of tissue here. Yeah, bring the tissue. I need it. Yeah, don't mind. Did you all feel stuffy or not? I don't know why here is a bit stuffy. No, no. You can turn this to my place. Yeah? This one. Yeah. Just rotate the chair. Huh? Okay. Oh, let it run. Let it run. Let it run. It's okay. Just now it was not blowing here. I felt warm. That's why the running nose. This one better. This tissue better. Thank you. Okay, I will continue. They had this thought that told them, "This is not for me, impossible." But this is a fallacy. This is what your thought will tell you. That's why when you understand this teaching, the great vow, perfection and virtue of all this great being, especially the great Bodhisattva and Sammasambuddha, you will come to know how unique and special they are. You only need to develop the very strong faith, the sincerity and the diligence to cultivate the affinity with them and connect to their nature. Then their nature will take you along and help you walk this way. That's why it's not difficult, because their vows are very powerful, understand? The only thing you need are these three qualities that I always share with you all. That is the faith, the sincerity, and the diligence to persevere. You must have very strong faith in the Triple Gem. And then, you have to be very sincere. The third one is diligence. Means just cultivate. Don't ask questions. Don't try to know. Or perseverance. When you have these three, then with some basic understanding and wisdom, you can connect to the way. You can develop affinity with all those great beings. Then when the affinity are there, these great beings or Bodhisattva way, this Bodhisattva way becomes very clear and easy. That's why you need to cultivate affinity with the Triple Gem. That's the reason why the Buddha asked you to take refuge with the Triple Gem. Taking refuge to cultivate the strong affinity. So, a lot of you may not understand why you take refuge. When you take refuge, it's to cultivate affinity with the Triple Gem. But many Theravadian practitioners fail to understand what taking refuge in the Triple Gem meant. The Triple Gem actually represents all the Buddha, all of truth, which is the teaching, and all the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. That's the reason why the Triple Gem is very unique and very beautiful. These three qualities are not difficult if you already have the understanding. So can remember these three things or not? What are they? First one is what? Faith. That's what Alicia wants to understand. Then next one? You must be very sincere. Sincere means what? Sincere means you are truthful, understand or not? You want to go this way. You want to develop the understanding and perfect it. If you are not sincere, you go for psychic, understand or not? If you're not sincere, you debate. And you want to do all those fantastic meditation. You want to develop your own, what they call selfish intention, to become famous, to become very special, very powerful. That is not sincerity. That is selfish intention. When you are sincere about the path, means you just want to cultivate and perfect this way. There is no more delusion behind. And you will later on come to know there is no self cultivating this way. It's all true understanding. It's just the form and mind. Form and mind. Not what you think. So all this will bring forth the condition. Then the third one is what? After you have the faith and the sincerity, what is the third one? perseverant, diligent. Please just do. Don't ask questions because you already inquire. You already have the faith. You are very sincere. Then just do. Then the way will be there. Then the thought will not come in through the back door to create unnecessary worry and fear in you and say all those things to you. Because sometimes the thought, if you really don't have the mindfulness and the understanding, they can come in all sorts of ways and tell you all sorts of things. Because the ego is there. First thing they will tell you, you think you can. Then you panic already. That's enough. Hey, this is serious, no? Vow already, cannot unvow, no? You panic again. Then somebody come along and say, hey, you vow to go that way, You cannot become arahant, no? Then the craving to become arahant, create more doubt. Like that, I better play safe. Wait till I sainthood first. Then only I go for the work. All this is the thought telling you. Do you understand? Forget about it. What you are doing is very wholesome, very sincere. It brings about the causes and conditions for you to progress along the path of Dhamma, to realize this enlightenment. Then what are you waiting for? You got nothing to lose. The vow will not cause you any problem, except bringing forth the causes and conditions for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. And that nature, just do and develop. And then it will reach its perfection. Then finally you will come to know it's just that nature is not a being. There's nobody behind it. But that nature can be perfected, like the Buddha nature, the great being's nature. They can be perfected. I will read on. So as you cultivate, as you move along the path of Dhamma, the condition will arise. And when you have the affinity with these great beings, and you have the determination to cultivate the Bodhi mind, the cultivation will become easy. Do you remember our Taiwan spiritual trip? Where we visited Tsongtai Chansi. Do you know what was written on the leaflet? What was the main reason this monastery was built? It was told to us that every year millions of people will come and visit this way place. Then what do they look forward to? Yes, the Bodhi thought, to plant the seed of Bodhi, to arise the Bodhi mind, Bodhi Sing, to go this way, the Bodhisattva way. Cultivators and visitors to their way place only have to develop the faith and condition to arise the single thought of Bodhi to walk this way. Then the world will never be lacking in all the great beings, because it all started with that single thought of Bodhi. You must always remember that. Without that single thought of Bodhi being planted, nothing happened. That's why you have to make the first move. It is just this single thought of Bodhi to realize enlightenment. Then one must have the faith, perseverance, and compassion to walk this way. I will connect all this understanding to the Bodhisattva precept and its vow. The Bodhisattva precept and the vows are very important. This initial precept and the vows can already take you along. But later on, as you walk this way, you will know how to modify all these basic vows to suit. And you can also include all the special vows that your nature has. You will come to understand all this later on. That's why every Bodhisattva is different, every Sammasambuddha is different. But the four basic vows of a Bodhisattva are basically always the same, and they complement the three types of pure precepts which the Bodhisattva take. I will explain them to you later. Now I will read to you some of the emails I received for you. That I receive for you to develop the faith and the understanding. Then we can continue with this sharing. If you have any question, you can ask. You are free to ask. Do make use of this condition to ask while this form of mind is still around. whatever you want to know about this way and the Bodhidharma, you should ask. Sorry, Buddha Dharma, not Bodhidharma, Buddha Dharma. Otherwise, when the condition cease, whatever you want to ask is already too late. It was the case with Venerable Ananda. When Sakyamuni Buddha mentioned that he would come to pass in 3 months' time, Ananda was crying in grief because he was only a Sotapan then. And he had so much emotion until he forgot to ask the Buddha all the important questions. Luckily, Venerable Anuruddha, the other disciple of the Buddha, advised Ananda to ask a few key questions before his passing away. Hence, at the last minute, Venerable Ananda went to ask the Buddha those important questions. He asked the Buddha, "After you are gone, who shall we follow?" The Buddha replied, "Follow the Sutta and the Vinaya." This means all of the discourse he had taught and all the precepts he had laid down. The main core precept must be held on to. Means the heavy offense. But he did say, as for the minor precept, one can do away with them, depending on the condition and the situation. After that, I think Venerable Ananda was also told to ask a few other questions, even though what he wanted most was for the Buddha to stay back. But the Buddha said, no point, because when the Buddha made that decision, he told Ananda, this physical body, the Nimanakaya of me, was already like a worn-out blockhead, waiting to collapse any time. Sakyamuni Buddha's great compassion and love for the world and sentient being had deprived him of enough rest. That was the reason why he passed away early at the age of 80, whereas most of the disciples were able to live on till the age of 120. As per my earlier advice, when there are conditions, do make full use of them. Okay, I will read to you one of this email that I had compiled and sent out. I think there are two of them. I will read to you this one first. So this is the first email I sent out. It comes along with this sutta. Sutta of innumerable meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, chapter 1 on virtue. You have to listen to this. When you go this way, when you take the Bodhisattva precept, do start with the planting of the first seed of Bodhi thought, or the Bodhi mind, because finally, your whole cultivation will embody all this understanding. This is mentioned in the Sutta of Innumerable Meaning, chapter 1 on virtue. So the whole of cultivation centered on virtue, nothing else. From virtue, the whole teaching comes about. The Sutta say, you have to listen to this, these are the great virtue of the Bodhisattva. If you walk the way of Bodhisattva, you will have this virtue, this parami. Just give me a minute, I need to clean off something. The Sutta said, true Bodhisattva are wise beings with great compassion. So when you go this way, you will become wise beings with great compassion. So that is the opening statement. Then the Sutta further describes, their minds are tranquil, ever abiding in meditation, peaceful, free of desire, and immune from any kind of delusion or wrong thought. Their mind is a mind of translucent purity with vast profound vows. They hold these vows unwavering for countless aeons. Having attained great wisdom, they penetrate all truth. and come to the understanding. Sorry, and come to understand all the innumerable teaching. They bring refreshed coolness and help cleanse away ignorance. With boundless love and compassion, they work to relieve suffering beings. Bodhisattvas are living beings, true friend, mentor, and guide. They help and enable living beings to cultivate a great field of merits and blessing without being asked. They offer guidance to living beings. They are living beings' place of security and happiness. They uphold the Buddha's precept of purity and never break them even at the cost of their life. They never become angry even when harmed, cursed, or insulted. Their mind abides in Dhamma day and night. They abide in their vows of purifying the world of all negativity and unwholesomeness of body, speech, and mind. Then after that, I received a few more of this type of email. One of them was from a very special Kayamita. It was definitely a lady, because all these were mainly written by ladies. I don't know why. The title she used was Arahanta and the Bodhisattva. She said, I have been resisting giving the issue about the Arahanta and Bodhisattva vow any serious thought. Since I am still a Putujana, no wisdom as yet, I have intended to wait until I have some measure of wisdom, that is after attaining the path and fruition before deciding on the specific path to take. However, there seems to be some unease each day for the time being. I only aspire to work towards arahantship. I had no courage or wisdom whatsoever to walk the Bodhisattva way. Then last Friday, the 10th of October 2014, when I read your email about the Bodhisattva way, I don't know why, but I was so touched and moved to tears that my tears flow freely. I am similarly moved to tears each time I recite mindfully Pusien, Pusa's 10 great vow in Mandarin. After your explanation, I knew they were tears of gratitude and joy. Then on Monday, I received a WhatsApp message reminder from a very patient Mahayana friend who has been asking me to Siu Puti Sing. It means to cultivate the Bodhi mind, to walk the Bodhisattva way. So these two reminders came back, meaning to aspire for the Bodhisattva way and to cultivate the Bodhisattva path. Now easy, otherwise I got to put up my leg and I had to lean back. So now I got more space. Good. Somehow, this time I didn't resist and I kneel humbly. I kneel, may she pay respect. She kneel humbly before the Buddha Rupang and express very sincerely my initial aspiration or vow to cultivate the Bodhisattva way, and humbly ask Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the great compassionate Bodhisattva, to help and guide me along the way. Then when I sat down to meditate, the Heart Sutta kept playing non-stop in my mind, even when I was sleeping. This lasted for a few days. I really need all the guidance and help to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. Hope I have the condition to cultivate the parami needed to support me along the way. See, this is what I mean. Before you connect, you don't know. Your thought will tell you all sorts of funny things like what she go through. But the moment the condition arises, when she make that firm decision to plant that seed of Bodhi, and she sat down to meditate, what happened? Huh? What happened? The heart sutta keep on arising non-stop, even while she sleep. And not for that moment or that day. It went on for a few days. See? This is not something you can comprehend. Only the cultivator who has done it will understand. And this is very ordinary, I tell you. It's not extraordinary. For cultivator, this is very simple, very common. It will come. You will understand. Just like this life, this nature, how all these things come back. Because this nature already did it before. That's why it is not surprised by all these things. But most people will be very surprised. Because this is something so new to most of you as a cultivator. But if you have done this for a long time, cultivated this way, it is nothing new. It is just normal happenings. Okay? Then I read on. The second part is on delusion and dream state. When I contemplated on all the dreams that I had, I realized that when this egoic mind was not the main character in the dream, I had complete awareness of the dream from when it was about to start right to the end when the dream ended. I could even become a critic of the dream in the dream state itself. Can somebody help to turn this away? I think it make me worse. the fan. Huh? Okay. Thank you. Never mind. Need to endure. I don't know what is trying to stop all this. Don't worry, huh? Somehow the transcript will come out. Never mind. Just it's okay already. Yeah. Thank you, Chin Hao. However, when the egoic mind or self was the main character in the dream, such detached awareness of its arising was lost, and I was completely sucked right into the dream and got myself entangled in the emotion and feeling. The delusion was extremely strong. An example was the dream I had yesterday morning. I was climbing up a very tall ladder when I was about 3 steps below the peak or summit. I felt very dizzy and was about to fall off the ladder. When I looked down, I couldn't see the ground. Then I sensed a feeling of fear arising. Then suddenly a very strong voice said, "You are not dizzy and you are not falling." Instantly, all feeling of dizziness and fear of falling vanished without a trace. In the dream, I was totally amazed at the sudden and complete change. After that, I was able to climb up and down the ladder without any dizziness or fear of falling down. Virtue, thank you so much for taking the time to read my rumblings. Your patience and compassion inspire and drive me on to cultivate sincerely, with metta and respect always. Then she signed off. So this was the email. We should all rejoice with the wholesomeness. We are saying, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And there are many of you, maybe at this point in time, you may not know your past as yet, because you have not really connected and developed the ability to recall your past cultivation. Not really in the sense of recalling past life. Recall here means after you have connected, then all the understanding will come back to you. It's not about reading past life, because this spiritual nature is different from the karmic nature. I had explained this during the last Thursday class sharing. The transcript is going to be ready soon. you should read that book. Who are you? What are you? The green book. Again, how the two nature, the spiritual nature and the karmic nature interact, and how the form and mind come about. So who are you? What are you? It's all very clearly explained in that book. Like what I explained, the moment you are born, karma will come into play, because according to the Buddha, you are born of your karma, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of karma. And when the Buddha said you are born of your karma, he's not referring to your true nature. He's referring to your form and mind, the karmically conditioned form and mind, which is subject to karma. Then there's another nature, which is the spiritual nature. And this spiritual nature is unlike your karmic nature. Just like what I had explained in the talk, it's all in the transcript book. It's very easy to understand, and also very clearly explained inside the book. Regarding the spiritual nature, not until you connect with your true nature, you cannot inherit anything from it. When you know how to meditate and how to silence your mind, then you can connect. The moment the silent mind touches the nature, the form and mind will understand a lot of things. That form and mind will progress very fast. It will understand what sati is. It will also understand what that nature is. Then once you go through cessation, you will have passed through the enlightenment stages of the sainthood way. But if you have cultivated this before, it will move across very fast. And you will reach back to your past cultivation pretty fast. That's how you inherit. Then if you want to, you can understand many things via the silent mind. Once connected, you inherit your nature's past perfection and cultivation. You will understand the Dhamma very fast and very easily. You may also come to understand that earlier on, you may not understand many of these things. But all of a sudden, you can understand them now. And there is a lot of things you will come to understand. Things which you may not learn, may not have learned them this life, yet you can understand. You will also come to know how they actually arise, and how they pass away, and how this is possible. Just like what happened to me, since the year 1986, everything just happened. The teacher come, the book come, the guide come. Give me a minute. Then within 3 years after I connect, means this nature connect, all this past understanding came back to me. Then when I read the sutta or when I heard the truth, I could just understand them, even though some of this understanding were not written in any book before. There was no doubt or fear, nothing. But the Dhamma is because the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, and there is no doubt, and everything is very clear. Because of that, you will also come to understand all this when the time comes. That's why I always say, you will never know who you are until you connect. Do you remember Brother Song? He is here. He is the only male Kayamita that connect thus far. He always tell me, talk to me, but he never write me any email. Initially, he also had this thought, because the mundane mind could not understand. He always said he was very cha in Mandarin, meaning very slow and weak in his cultivation. But the moment he connect, he moved so fast. How is that possible? Things that he never understood before, after he connect, the moment he reads the Dhamma note, my transcript notes, the dependent origination of Paticca Samuppada teaching again, he straight away understand, despite the fact that before he connect, He had tried reading them 6 times, yet he could not understand. But all of a sudden, after he connected, he read the note again, and he could understand. The reason being, this teaching comes from the silent mind. So if you have not realized the silent mind's awakening, you cannot understand. Then many things just happen. And he is now so clear about the great difference between thought-based meditation and awareness-based meditation. And he kept on having this joy of understanding for 2 or 3 months after he had connected. Then he kept on sharing with others and me, reporting things that a normal person could not understand. So these are the things that are possible. And your time will also come. You only need to develop the faith, the 3 things that I have written on the whiteboard. That is sadha, which is the faith, the sincerity, and the diligence. Then just cultivate and don't try to know. Forget about what the thought are telling you. Like, this way is too difficult, too long, impossible, not for me, etc. No more such gullible thinking. We are also very blessed or lucky, because when we went to Fo Quang San, Fa Gu San, not Fo Quang San, to Fa Gu San, the monastery of Master Sun Yan in Taiwan, I saw this book, The Bodhisattva Path, Direction to Buddhahood. When I flicked through the pages, I saw that it was very simple and very easy to understand, because this is written for people who are keen to walk the path. It is very simple and very basic. And this is where and how you start. Afterwards, I will read it to you. I hope I had the time. Almost an hour has gone. Oh, not much time left. Huh? Okay, I better finish off all this email first before it's too late. Now I'll read to you my reply to her. I wrote to her and I said, Mahasadhu to you for your strong faith and good past cultivation. I really rejoice with your wholesomeness. The Bodhisattva way is not difficult when you understand. And there is a lot of joy too. Just like what the Heart Sutta said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Based on what you had shared below, you definitely had good past condition and affinity to walk this way. So do not allow the thought to deter you. Cultivate great affinity with Kuan Yin and all the other great beings and Samasambuddha. And make the appropriate aspiration and vow to go this way, then everything will just follow and fall into place. Be sincere, have faith, and persevere with strong resolve. Then all will be well, because their nature will help bless, protect, and guide you. Always remember, you have to ask for their blessing, protection, and guidance. Do you know why you need this 3? Blessing, protection, and guidance. You need to be blessed. It's easy to understand. Then why must you ask them to protect you? Your true nature never dies, isn't it? So why do you need protection? It is to protect this form of mind, which is very fragile. Like I always say, this form of mind is very fragile, vulnerable, and very delicate. If the supporting conditions cease to be or disappear, then death can occur anytime. This form of mind is just a vehicle and a tool for you to come and develop the cultivation, etc. Every life you come as a human being, you may not have much time to cultivate, to develop the understanding, because you have to go through the 3 phases of life. As a kid, you don't know anything yet. Then as you go to school, finish your study, and go out to work. That is the second stage. Then with your worldly duties, you will have no time for spiritual cultivation. So only those who have their past vows and their past perfection and cultivation, their karma will take them along, and they will know how to do this cultivation early. So this is very important. If you don't have your past cultivation, you don't have this vow, you will start very late. Then you have to connect. After connecting, only then you can continue with your cultivation. So every life you come, you actually do not have much time A lot of people don't even have the condition to come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma. So if you don't have their protection before you even connect, chances are the former mind is already gone. Like this life, I myself can recall not less than 3 occasions this former mind of mine was supposed to die before it even get connected. So it was because of this nature's affinity with the great beings, especially Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature, that have protected this former mind from dispersing. And they don't have to be around because it can manifest via their vows and their understanding of the nature's law that governs all of life and existence. And it will also know how to connect. Then life after life, because this nature of mind make this vow, this aspiration to seek the protection, their protection via the power of merits, wholesomeness and understanding. Hence this become possible. When you seek their blessing, protection and guidance, their nature will continuously guide you, protect and bless you. That's why you are very well protected, like very lucky, very blessed and properly guided. Then somehow everything will fall into place. That's why you must know how to develop and look for this affinity and connection. I will continue with my reply to the lady's email. I said, I will explain further when I meet up with you in person. There are many others too who are interested in this way. Maybe we can gather them together and we can have a separate private session on this occasion. Bye, and with metta always. So that was the main condition that led to this first private session. So the first sharing was the first private session gathering. The time was unofficial. I only sent to about 20 or plus people who have affinity with my nature. Yeah, I didn't know it's going to come out so fast. I only thought maybe only these people are interested. Then later on, so many things else happened. The retreat, people request for it. Then they want to take the vow again. So many of these things just happen. That's why I say, when the teaching want to come out, you cannot stop. Then the strangest thing is, after 2 years, people volunteer to transcribe it. I also completely surprised. And just these 2 ladies, one of them transcribed 3 of the transcript. Then Gladys transcribed 1. Then everything just fall into place. You ask yourself, how is this possible? My nature is accord and flow, didn't do anything. Didn't suggest anything to. You can ask them. They voluntarily wrote to me, Gladys, can I transcribe this talk? I say, sadhu to you, if you want to do, you should do. Then after that, is it got any more or not? Well, I say, you're so fast. Before I edit, you already sent. So there are 3 or 4 backlog. I haven't looked at it. I only started the other one, that the Singapore lady. There's another Singapore lady who stays. She's a Malaysian who stays in Singapore. I just met her, I think, a few weeks ago. She came for the first Wu Bing Jing Se sharing. She find the 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta so interesting. But she can understand, no? She has been going all around, cannot find a teacher to explain this teaching. And she can understand, she's mentally educated. Then she told Miss Lee she want to do a transcript. And he sent it to me without letting me know that he has already done the draft transcript. And I told Sister Lee, I said, what sadhu? I said, who is this girl? Then she told me who she is. Then I said, very good. Means the teaching want to come out. Then after she volunteered to transcribe all the platform sutta that follow. So now it's 2 in my hand already. I haven't even started the first one. First one I just about to start. See? All this come by itself. I didn't suggest anything. Sometimes I just put in the WhatsApp, very good talk. You better get the hint. Then I say, very good, it's really good. You better go and listen to it attentively. So that was the main condition that led to the first private session. I also promised you all that it would be held after our Ermisan spiritual trip. I was thinking this year-end break was the best. Initially, a few of the Kayamita told me they could not make it. But I think the turnout for the session, which is today, is very good. Most of us can make it, and we should thank Sister Padmasuri for suggesting the date. Shall we all rejoice? Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then after that, she replied to me. The title was Requesting for Guidance and Reporting. The lady Kaya Mita said, Dear Brother Theo, I was filled with joy reading your email reply. I am most thankful for my good karma to have you guiding me on this Bodhisattva way. It is a wonderful idea to have a private session with those who aspire the same path. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And then she ends her email via signing off with heartfelt gratitude and respect. And I replied to her by saying, do listen to yesterday's 12 October 2014 Wu Bing Jingse recording and sharing. Because there were conditions for some of the below understanding to be shared. Please do listen to the later part of the talk and the many mysterious things that happened on that day too. It was just like the earlier clang talk on emptiness. There were some forces initially that tried to disrupt the talk, just like what happened at the earlier clang talk. It was also because of power failure at Wu Bing Jingse, starting at about 2:30 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. by and with metta always. This talk, I think it was transcripted, if I'm not wrong. It's a very good talk. It's supposed to be this. The last session, the last talk on the Satipatthana Sutta, I think. We ended the Satipatthana Sutta with this talk. It's in the yellow transcript book. You want, you read through. You understand the condition behind. There were a lot of things that I mentioned. It was, I think, end of 2014. Either end of 2014 or beginning of 2015. The talk in Klang on emptiness is the same too. It was interrupted. Initially, we had to start late because the chanting ended late. Then after that, the microphone encountered problem. But all this, when we allow condition to accord and flow, and when we didn't react to the problem, everything just fall back into place. At Wu Bing Jingse, it was also the same. The power failure actually started earlier. Then I remember Stephanie called me. You can ask Stephanie. She's here. He said, Brother Theo, shall we cancel the class? I asked her why. She said, power failure at Wu Bing Jingse. Without power, it's dark, hot, and stuffy. Then she also said, nobody turned up yet. Only Sister Man Yuan. Man Yuan is also here. You can check with her. Then I said, never mind. We will continue with the class because we had already promised people, so we will have the class. From 2:30 until 3:30 p.m., there was still no power. So we started meditation first, although normally we would start with the sutta sharing. Then as I was giving some instruction during the meditation, the power suddenly comes back and everything was back to normal. After that, we had a very good sharing. Somehow, there were conditions on that day. After the power resumed, and when I started the sharing after the meditation, the moment I wanted to share the Bodhisattva way and the cultivation, all of a sudden, you know what happened? Huh? Can you remember what happened? It rained and rained, and the rain was very heavy, and it really poured. The thunder was so loud, very loud. It was pouring heavily outside. Then all of a sudden, there was a very loud burst of thunder, and the power tripped again. I tell you, the thunder is really loud, non-stop. That was because the higher beings were rejoicing. Again, the power was reconnected. I think Mimi was there with her husband. They came to join us late. It so happened when they walked in, the thunder strike and blackout. And the husband know how to repair the ELCB. She just get a stool, climb out, push the button out. Then we gain back power. They came to join us late. So many things just happened. Nature is like that. There is nothing psychic about this thing, this type of thing. It's just nature's way. Because very likely, the higher beings also want to know about this cultivation. So there were many conditions for all this to arise. This can also help many of you to develop the faith. So do listen to the sharing on that day attentively, because faith is very important. Yeah? Then in between also, the Thursday and Tuesday classes, there were many occasions when the condition arose and I shared. Then after that, I wrote back to the lady, the below is for your personal sharing only. I wrote to Most Kayamita, who might be interested and have the condition. I said, do reply to me directly. Let me know if you are interested to join us for the private session to discuss the below topic. I intend to hold this private session to discuss the below topic after the Amazon spiritual trip. I will forward a rather good reply from another Kayamita for sharing by all later. The other email is this one. As mentioned in my earlier email, there's another email for your personal sharing. Hope this can help strengthen your faith and resolve further. By and with metta always. Then another Kayamita also wrote, Sukihoto, Brother Teo, I am very thankful for your compassion towards Kayanamitas in every way, especially your Dhamma sharing. Although we may be seen to be quiet during Q&A, it may appear that we do not understand. Brother Teo, I speak for myself. Each time I attend any of your classes, you seem to know what my doubt and question are. And I leave home with the joy, and the following day filled with clarity. And as mentioned in your below sharing, the mind abides in Dhamma day and night. The first thing when I woke up in the morning, Dhamma is there. Whenever my mind is free, Dhamma is also there. And even when I wake up at night to go to the toilet, the Dhamma or mantra or chanting comes to my mind first. It has become like a duty. Then I reply, Dear sister, I rejoice with your wholesomeness and good understanding, sadhu, and do keep up with your good progress by and with metta always. See, when people have faith, Dhamma will be with you throughout the day. That is the faith that will drive you to have that understanding. And you will be very, very different. That's why the cultivators are different. When the faith is there, when the understanding is there, the joy keep on coming. The mind is with Dhamma day and night. It will abide in you. Non-stop, you will cultivate. That was what I did too during the early days. Then there's another email which is also very important. This one is also written by another sister. After I sent out this, I wrote to the Kayamita and said, below is the Dropbox link sharing for all. It's a very good talk. Please do listen to it attentively to understand its deep meaning. This is the talk in Klang on emptiness. It was spoken on the 3rd of October 2014. You can go to the website and access it about 3 months back. But that time was 2nd of January, exactly almost 3 months. In her reply, she wrote, Dear Brother Teo, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And thank you so much for the rather inspiring talk. Your talk has taken me a step closer to understanding emptiness, even though I must say my understanding is still very thought-based. I am slowly learning to appreciate the idea of condition arising in all phenomena. I see clearly in my plant as I enjoy gardening. The challenge is applying it to my daily life and the daily activity. And I have to constantly remind myself and reflect on it, of course. I have always wanted to understand what anatta and what emptiness is, though I often got confused. But I didn't give up. So far, I managed to listen to the recording of your talk twice, and then will continue to listen to it again. Please allow me to clarify. Would you say Buddha and Pusa or Bodhisattva are also subject to change? There is condition arising. Some say our Sakyamuni Buddha exists in the Buddha Pure Land. Please comment. I was also told an Arahant was ceased to exist within a week due to the collapse of the fire aggregate. I would like to hear your views on this, please. Thank you in advance. May you be well and happy always. This email was written to me by a lady from Singapore. So what do you think? The first question. What do you think? Is the Buddha and the Bodhisattva subject to condition arising? What do you think? When you understand, you become very clear. That's why I replied to her. I told her. I mentioned here, she didn't understand the question, right? That's why she asked that question. She didn't know what the Buddha and Bodhisattva is. She only heard of the word and the name. So you can never fathom all this, not until you have cultivated the understanding yourself. She does not really have much cultivation. Earlier on, she asked a lot of questions, and I told her. Forget about this question. Focus on the cultivation, which is more important. Well, all these questions are from the thought. I will read to you my reply. Then maybe we can discuss it because it can help you. I forgot to answer her last question. In my reply to her, I said, "Dear sister, you listen, this will give you understanding. The Buddha and the Bodhisattvas are embodiment of their spiritual perfection of wisdom and virtue, which has become their spiritual nature. The fine aggregate of form and mind that they take to come into existence as Buddhas and Bodhisattva are not them." You have to understand that. This is the most important understanding. Don't be gullible. Don't go and think that the form is the Buddha and the Bodhisattva. That's the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha said, "He who sees me doesn't see the Buddha. Only he who sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha." A lot of these things people cannot understand, so I had to explain them. Then I said to her, "The five aggregate of form and mind, or the living being that they take to come into existence, to become Buddhas and Bodhisattva, are not them, but only the karmically conditioned segmented form and life of theirs in that particular life, and they are impermanent. Well, each of these is just karmically conditioned form and mind entity. Only that physical form they take to arise is subject to change or condition arising. But their spiritual nature is different because it's just the nature, born of cultivation and perfection. It's not a being. The form and mind that comes and cultivate can connect back to their nature to inherit all the understanding of their spiritual nature. Only then can it transform the form and mind into a Buddha or a Bodhisattva. But their form are not their true nature. Their form is only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for them to arise, used to perform the function of a Buddha or a Bodhisattva while in this world." Hope this helps. So this first part, can you understand? Good. The true nature of the Buddha or Bodhisattva is the embodiment of their cultivation and perfection. And that one, nobody can take away. It's recorded in their spiritual nature. That's why that nature is very different and very powerful. And he has its virtue, perfection, and wisdom. That's why it's capable of very unique and powerful things because of their vows. That tree is here. Where is tree? So now it's your turn, no? No, here they say, "Pass the mic to Sister Chui for recording purpose." Otherwise, it cannot be recorded. Even though we can hear you, but it cannot be recorded. Thanks. Then our sister Chui start. Sorry, Brother Teo. Just to go back again, their physical form are not their true nature, and they are just karmically conditioned arising form. Not bad, huh? Can recall, huh? Chui. Oh, very good, huh? Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? I can understand form is not their true nature, but karmically conditioned seems to me there is some kind of karmic inheritance. Wow, want to inherit property or what? Huh? But it's a good question. Somewhere that comes into being. And how do they use their karmic conditioning to walk that path? Then I reply, because I can understand she very sincere. That's why I say, I think I understand your question. Thank you, Sister Chui. You see, I have already explained in many parts of my talk. And that's the reason why you must pay attention now. So that you understand. Can you remember the Thursday class talk? I drew a sketch of Sister Joyce with a skirt. I normally draw a skeleton. I never put a skirt. But the day I put a skirt. Remember? Just like this line. My nature comes with this form and mind, which you call Brother Teo. But this form and mind, which you call Brother Teo, is not me. Do you understand? This is karmically conditioned out through my karmic nature. Without karma, there is no form and mind. You need a form and mind to come. This form and mind is your tool and vehicle. A vehicle means like a physical body, like a car, to take you around. It has the senses, sense bases, that allow you to give rise to sense door consciousness. And to allow your consciousness to stay within. The form and mind, through the appropriate condition, can arise. Because it is born of your karma, heir to your karma. Conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are, because of your karma. This form and mind is subject to karma, hence not your true nature. You will not know how to meditate or how to silence your mind until you can connect to your true nature. The moment you connect, you can inherit all your cultivation. But not everybody had that cultivation and perfection. Many need to cultivate and perfect it. Just like the karmic nature. You need to slowly nurture it, step by step perfect it. Then this karmic nature is very important. Those great beings, Bodhisattva and great cultivators like the Sammasambuddha, have already known the teaching before they took the vow. They have already understood. That's the reason why they can become Arahant anytime. But because of love and compassion for living beings, they vow life after life to liberate sentient beings out of genuine love and compassion for them. They just do this work. And this is their first basic vow. One must uphold the three sets of pure Bodhisattva precept. And the four very important basic vow to walk this way. The first one is, you vow to take across the innumerable sentient beings, to liberate them, to free them from all suffering. So this first basic vow, born of love and compassion, is very important. This is to create the pure mind for you to come. Do you understand? Otherwise, if you already have that wisdom and you have realized Arhantship or beyond, when this form and mind cease, do you know what will happen? You can realize Nibbana leading to subsequent Parinibbana. Then you don't die like normal being. There is no more rebirth consciousness born of ignorance. The Arahant just cease. That's it. But because of your Bodhisattva vow, you can still come back in another form and mind to liberate living beings. That's the reason why that vow has the power to condition the form and mind to come. And that form and mind that comes is not born of delusion, not born of rebirth consciousness. Because of your compassion and love, this pure mind can come out and take birth. We are the vows. Then the vow will create a form in mind. That's why this pure mind, with the love and compassion, can become part of the karmic condition form in mind. People need rebirth consciousness to come, the death consciousness through delusion condition rebirth consciousness. But bodhisattvas don't have rebirth consciousness, only their pure mind, their vow, their perfection, and their love and compassion can enable subsequent rebirth. That's the reason why when I was very young, my mind was empty. Even until the age of 5, I can still recall. There was nothing inside there, the brain. Until I was transferred to a notorious town in Alaska, at the age of 6 only, this so-called mundane mind started to interact and learn all the bad habits. You will know when the time comes. That mind is so pure, so different. This karmically conditioned form of mind is just a tool and a vehicle for you to come. But because of karma, and you have this perfection and understanding of the teaching, every life you come, you will finally know how to connect. Then you will know how to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. You must cultivate the vow and the three sets of pure precept. You must know the three sets of pure precept. To walk this way, you must start with these three sets of pure precept. The first set is, you have to undertake the training rule to avoid all evil. The second set is to cultivate all virtue. And the third set is, you will surely think it's the advice of the Buddha to purify the mind. No. If you do that, you will become an arahant. You don't just purify your mind. By then, you will have known how to develop the enlightenment already. Instead, you have to take the third set of pure precept via undertaking the training rule to penetrate all dhammas and liberate the limitless being from all suffering. So there is a slight modification to the third advice. Means you cultivate to perfect wisdom to do the work of the bodhisattva to liberate all beings. You do this just like how you keep your precept. I undertake the training rule to penetrate all dhamma and liberate all living beings and sentient beings from all suffering. That's the reason why this pure precept can bring about the special condition leading to the perfection of the 10 perfection. Do you think it's easy to avoid all evil? Every time you come, before you connect, before the mundane mind collapses, the mundane mind still has delusion. So you will have to cultivate this constantly. By cultivating all virtue, you are actually perfecting your 10 perfection. That's why you have to cultivate until your nature is very powerful. And this understanding will allow you to have the condition to walk this path. Then you can combine this understanding with the 4 basic vows and the 3 sets of pure precepts to perfect your 10 perfection. This is a very important understanding. Then is there a difference between a vow and a precept? When one says, I undertake the training rule to liberate living beings, this is a precept. This means every life you come with this form in mind, you can renew your precept via undertaking those training rules. You continue to do it as long as you are willing to keep the precept. Vow means you vow to continue to do this work until you become Sama Sambuddha. So that is the difference. Eh? What are the 4 basic vows of a bodhisattva? I have already told you the first one. Then after that, you have to develop the other 3. I will share them with you later. But the first one is very important. Okay. The rest you wait till the book come out, then we share again. Because it's getting late. 2:45. You only have 15 more minutes for your Q&A. After that, Chui continue to ask questions. Again, here written, pass the mic to Sister Chui again. But it was a very good sharing. The first sharing was very good. Then after that, people came to make further requests. And it all started because of all these causes and conditions. That's why you don't have the whole transcript. You don't understand how it come about. You don't understand the causes and conditions behind and the process that brought forth the condition. So all this, even now after I read it out, 2 over years ago, I don't think you can recall, unless you are serious about this thing, you are involved in the Dhamma cultivation. But you can go and listen to the recording, because it's all in the recording. And it's a transcript of the recording. Okay, we got 15 more minutes for you to ask questions you have. While I have a drink. Yeah. Anybody got any question? Otherwise, we pass the mic to Sister Nancy and Sia to say a few words. We are the host have not spoken. Yeah.
Expressing my gratitude to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo for coming for our second house dana. And all the Kalyana Mitas who came full force. I would say that I have learned a lot from Brother Teo through your teachings, the understanding of the Dharma, and still striving to put into practice. But meditation-wise, I believe that I have...
It will come.
Yes.
It will come.
Yes, I can.
Because you benefited a lot when you did the transcript for the first house dana.
Mm-hmm.
That one helped you a lot.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do the transcript, I tell you, even today's talk, you just go out. And you cannot retain much. That's why you need the transcript.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm very happy to say that I take the opportunity sometimes to share with my children. Yeah. And trying to build them to walk the Dharma way.
You're off the mic. I continue a bit. You see, when you yourself change, when they can see you change, they will listen to you. If you yourself haven't changed, don't be too eager to influence your children, I tell you. I got one physics teacher, kena from the children. He thought that was mindfulness, but he learned it from another tradition. During the early year, before he met me, he was 15 years with the Burmese tradition. Then he studied from one of the very famous traditions. Until he became teacher also, you know, he was teaching here a lot of stuff. Until my brother told him, I also got one brother teaching meditation. Then he asked for the name. And he remembered my name when in the school. I was very outstanding. And he said, this is my student. He said. Then he contacted me. Then after I spoke to him, then he started to learn from me. Then after a while, when he came to understand, he asked me why it took him 15 years later to meet me. I said, because you have been teaching the same like what you teach now. You take people to Holland, you get lost for 15 years, then only you can meet back, where you also have affinity. And the worst thing was I heard, he told me early on, he said, my children are very difficult to teach and share all this Dhamma with them. Then I said, how you share? I want them to be more mindful, he said. He thought mindfulness is, that type of mindfulness, you know, the nothing one. You know. Then every time, the children, while eating, you know, make noise or drop the spoon or drop something, say, told you to be mindful. You say, every time I cannot scold you. Until one day, in the table, the wife and the children all together. Then it happened again. Then he wanted to say that thing again. Then the son tell him all. Enough, I know what you are going to tell me. Because they saw him also still with the anger, the temper at the start. And you want your children to learn all this from you. And you call this Buddhism, mindfulness and all this. I tell you, you are dead. Yes, that's why they're willing to listen to you where they see you change. You have become different. At first you worry for Bredesia. Then now, it's okay. That's why they have faith. They see you live the good life and your life condition change. And this is Dhamma. When you yourself have it, put into practice, then they can feel you, see you. You can have the condition to talk to them and they will listen. It's just like why when people, new people who don't know me, they come and listen, they have faith in me. And then when they have problems, they talk to me, depression, all those things. How come they will listen? Because they can feel you. There is something like the Wu Liang Yi Jing, the chapter 1 on virtue say, because when you go this way, you become different. You have a nature that can bring forth the condition and confidence for people to listen to you. They feel at peace with you. They can trust you. They are calm when they are near you. And this is what the Bodhisattva way is all about. That's why it's very beautiful. Even the Dhamma is very beautiful. As you understand, cultivate, your life will change. Because you can only change your life destiny if you take care of karma by following the advice of the Buddha. To avoid all evil, do good and purify your mind. Keep the precept and all. Have goodness. No more negativity. And then they see you different. Then they have faith in you. In what you share with them. That is very good. Very beautiful. Sadhu. Now she very keen to pass the mic to us. It's good to have the host to say a few words. They can also express their gratitude, their thanks. Then they add in whatever that they have learned.
Cảm ơn Brother Thieu, Sister Thieu. I would say Brother Thieu, Sister Padmasuri, and all attendees here today, all Kayamitas. As expressed by my wife Nancy, we are flabbergasted because the attendance is really, really good. And when she told me yesterday, I said, "Meng kia la." The only problem is probably some of them will be without seats, you know. Food-wise, I think we had fantastic food contribution by all brothers and sisters who had come here. I mean, so much so, we told, I think some of the sisters would have heard Nancy saying, "We are going out tonight, so please don't leave anything behind." And as I echo what Nancy said, the past few years has been a good journey for me as well. To walk the Dharma way, in many ways it has changed me tremendously. And my children, I think my missus has done a good job to cultivate them in and coach them to say that, look, there are ways to look at from the Dharma viewpoint, the viewpoint of a Dharma, and if you practice it in the correct way and with honest and sincerity, you will find a solution somehow along the way. I found mine, and I thank Brother Teo again, and brother and sisters who have supported me along the way. And thank you very much.
Very good. Anybody else got anything to add? Yeah, you can express whatever you want to express. You learn to express. That is very important. Learn to speak out from your heart. It can help you to open up your heart. Then when you do it, it is the beginning of understanding. You cannot express what you have understood, means it's still not stable. Understand? It's still at the thought level. Then the thought have power over you, because the thought make you paisei. You know what is paisei or not? Shy. You are not shy, the thought is shy. The thought say, ayo, if I say wrong thing, how people laugh at me. See? That is the thought. That is the defilement. Who are you? That fellow is not you. Your understanding connected to it help that form a mind to express. So use it to express. You got nothing to lose. Make mistake, the form a mind take. That's how you learn. So, but your thought keep on confusing you. Ah, your paisei, or what if people come to know, they will laugh at me. So this is Dhamma when you understand. You have to see your consciousness and its content clearly. And that one is the five aggregate. They have the universal characteristics of impermanent. You attach and cling, it brings about suffering, fear, worry, anxiety, shyness. That shyness is also a defilement. Who is shy? The egoic mind is shy. Paisei and all those things. So when you see through all this, you realize this mind is just the fine aggregate for you to use. It's a tool for you to come to this world, to experience life, to live life. Because the consciousness trapped in this form of mind, physical body, is a vehicle and a tool for you to come and use. So use it, like a new car. Use it, drive it, enjoy it. Don't be miserable when you are in the car. Drive also got problem, because the mind simply whack. Traffic light also break. Then got a lot of anger, emotion. Evil. That's how you bring about karmic negativity, downfall. But if you are a good driver, skillful driver, very kind, understanding driver, people will like you. You stop at the traffic light, you obey rules. Then you saw old lady or pregnant lady crossing the road, you stop by and let them cross. Then you smile. You give joy to people, understand? Instead of horn, getting angry, what are you doing? This is not Dhamma, this is crazy, crazy living. This is madness. Just simple thing. The Dhamma is really simple. When you have kindness, goodness, love, understanding, the selfishness is gone. You won't horn and do all these funny things. Well, you horn because you think you only, the only important person in this world. Other people is a nuisance. That is selfishness. And your egoic mind is so strong, your reaction. You just want to get angry with people. You blame the world, you blame everybody except yourself. But you check back, you are never happy. You are always angry, emotional. And that is not Dhamma, that's not. Dhamma is about kindness, goodness, gentleness, pleasantness, understanding, virtue, respect, gratitude, generosity. All this you don't have, understand? But argument, very good. Scold people, very good. So what are you doing, calling yourself a Buddhist, having been in the Dhamma for so many years, and yet basic Noble Eightfold Path cultivation also you don't have? So you have to check your own understanding of the Dhamma. You cannot put it into practice. If it's still not a part of your nature, you are far away from being a Buddhist. So, to be worthy of the Buddha, to call yourself a Buddhist, you better make sure you follow his advice, understand his teaching. That is the least you can do, so that you don't bring about disgrace to the Buddha. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu. Anything else? Otherwise, Jin Hao. Oh, cut cake, oh, I almost forgot. Oh. Okay, Jin Hao, last one. After that, we will start.
Just an announcement, you see. Next month, I have the opportunity, honor to host the house. So, it'll be August 20th, Sunday.
Okay.
11:30, about a month from now, see.
Yeah.
And I hope you all can come in as well, see.
So you can try Jin Hao's mother's famous food. Her mother is a good cook. Okay, we can adjourn for our cake, but we must do the sharing of merit first. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, the virya. Then mindfully, we shall do the transfer of merit, sharing of merit. Then we make our aspiration, starting with the devas. Maka satta ca bumata deva naga mahindika tang anumoditva cirang rakkantu loka sasana itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Lord Buddha, then we can adjourn to wish Brother Siya happy birthday.